This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
My name is Wes. I'm one of the pastors here. As Zach shared, we have a team approach to leadership, and so that also means a team approach to the pulpit. And it's my privilege and joy today to have the opportunity to participate in preaching God's Word. You know, this is, I got to start off with some bad news. Summer's over. Some of y'all like fall, best of all, but man, I love summer. I always have as a kid. I was the pool rat who was at the pool all summer long as a kid. And this summer was a very special summer for me as a father because I got to see my two oldest children at the pool. We spent a lot of time at the pool, and it's a great pool that we were at. And one of the greatest things about it, this pool has a high dive. Not the 1 meter, we're talking the 3 meter high dive. And I got to see my two oldest kids master the high dive. Caleb and Audrey, they didn't just jump off it, they dove off it head first. Proud dad, just reliving all of my old days at the pool as a pool rat. One of the things I love about it, there were some great moments, and we have a lot of them on video trying to capture when they actually went for it. But that moment of decision, have you ever seen a kid trying to dive off the high dive? I mean, like the moment of decision, and they get to the end, and they stand there, and they're ready for a long time. You know, have you ever seen that? Have you ever done that? I don't know, can I ask a personal question? Have you ever, any of you guys ever mastered the high dive? We have any high divers? Okay, we got a few. All right, yeah, that's good. I love it. And there's nothing like, as a dad, watching my kids overcome this fear and go for, because you can't halfway dive off the high dive, right? Like you just have to, go all in. And for a moment, just a brief moment in time, they were the most terrified children within like a 20 mile radius. And then after they hit the water and came up, they were the happiest kids in like a 20 mile radius. It was just awesome. But that, I love that moment of decision. In today's text, it kind of brings us to a similar moment of decision that we're going to see as we walk through this. And so I want to invite you to be thinking about that moment. Maybe you can remember back to your moment on the high dive when you decided you were ready to go. But this text forces us to the end of the board so that we can decide, am I all in or not? And I'm so excited. You know, this series is part of how we're unpacking what it means for us as a church to fulfill our mission. We have an unchanging mission along with every other church that's ever existed to go and make disciples. And we rearticulated that unchanging mission a little while ago to look like this for us as a church. We believe that LifePoint Church exists to glorify God, make gospel-driven disciples by engaging people in the unexpected joy of a life more and more dependent on Jesus. That's what we're all about. That's our mission. And this series is all about trying to help us see, how do we know if we're doing this? How would we know if we're making disciples, if we're fulfilling this mission and engaging people in that unexpected joy of a life that's more and more dependent on Jesus? So this series is all about making sure that we are on target. And so we're aiming to try to see, what does a disciple look like? How do we know we're successfully making disciples? Disciples of Jesus are people who are becoming like Jesus. That's why we name this series Like Jesus. And what does it mean to become like Jesus? You know, we talked last week about what it means to think like Jesus, to have the mind of Jesus, not just to know what he knows. That's part of it, to know about God and to know God's word and to know theology, but to think in the way that Jesus thinks. We're going to be talking next week about becoming like Jesus deep down, a transformation on the inside. Side of the affect of the heart of Jesus. And today we're talking about acting like Jesus. What does it mean to act like Jesus? And as Zach pointed out last week, there's a close connection between our thoughts or our beliefs, the things happening up here between our ears, and our actions. And we see this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is what we were looking at last year. I don't have all the actions memorized, but you can remember the kids last week who walked through this, but we see that the transformation begins with the renewal of your mind. That's where it starts. Transformation begins with the renewal of your mind. But if you look carefully at verse 1, look how in verse 1, there is a clear connection between our spiritual lives and our physical actions. Paul here calls us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's alive, doing things, physical bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. There's this unmistakable connection between our physical actions and our spiritual worship. It's not enough to intellectually believe in Jesus or know all of the theology. We have to put that belief into practice. A transformed life of faith means that our beliefs about Jesus and the new way that we think like Jesus are clearly seen in the actions of our everyday lives. In short, disciples who are becoming more and more like Jesus, they act like Jesus. So what does it mean to act like Jesus? We're gonna take a short look at every bit of scripture that references Jesus this morning. Just kidding, we're not doing that. What does it mean to act like Jesus? We're gonna focus on this one passage in 1 John chapter 2. Because it brings clarity to the connection between our thoughts and our beliefs and our behavior. And as we look at this, we're trying to answer this question, what does it mean to act like Jesus? I want to start off and just point out, if you want to open your Bibles to 1 John 2, 3 through 6, you can see this. I just want to point out that all four of these verses have a reference to obeying Jesus, to keeping his commandments or obeying his word or living, walking like he walked. If we're trying to understand what it means to act like Jesus, what it means to follow him, it has something to do at its heart with obedience. Obedience. It's all over this passage. And if you look at verse 3, you see that you can actually evaluate your knowledge of Jesus. You can know if you actually know him based on what you do, if you keep his commandments. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments, it says. This is the test. Do you have the right knowledge about Jesus? Well, look at the way you live your life. Do you keep his commandments? It's interesting. Verse 4, we see that people sometimes have a tendency to claim or think that they know Jesus, even though they don't obey him. And verse 4 makes it very clear that somebody who thinks they know Jesus, who wants to act like they know Jesus, they want to claim that they are a follower of Jesus, but they don't actually obey him. They don't truly know him. If you look at verse 6, we see that there's this call. It sort of culminates in this call. Verse 6, to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. You know, this is a pattern of life. This is to live your life day by day, moment by moment. This is kind of like every day, you know, if like Jesus is the high dive, you're jumping off every day. You're making that decision. You are gonna walk as he walked. And what this is here, if you dig into this idea of walking in the same way that Jesus walked, what we see here is it's a radical ancient Hebrew idea of discipleship. This is how rabbis were made. A rabbi would invite somebody to follow him. And they like literally, the people who followed this rabbi, they wanted the dust from the shoes of that rabbi to end up on them. I mean, they followed them all around. They didn't just follow him. They had to leave everything to do it. They walked away from jobs and family and their 401k and, you know, everything else to follow this rabbi. This was a radical ancient Hebrew idea of discipleship, to walk in the same way that somebody walked. So what does it mean to act like Jesus? Those who truly know him, they radically obey him. That's what we see in this passage. Those who truly know Jesus, they radically obey him. And I don't use this term radical just for semantics. This is, if you look at that verse, you see that obedience is all over and it looks at different angles. Those who truly know the heart of Christ, they radically obey him. That's the big idea in this passage. You know, our Western culture of like rugged individualism, it doesn't really love the idea or the concept of obedience, does it? I mean, we exist as a country because several hundred years ago, many men and women did not like the idea of being mastered by the English, right? And so that's why we exist as a country. We have this cultural value of rugged individualism that probably, my guess is, when you think about the idea of radically obeying somebody, of patterning your entire life, you probably have some little bit in your insides that's like, I don't know about that. I'm not sure that's a good idea. And you know, this value of ours, it's actually a great strength, especially when we use it to exercise the freedom we have in Christ from the sin that so easily entangles. When we apply this value to mortifying our sin and walking away from the things that tie us down to this world, it's a great strength, but it can make it difficult to embrace the reality that Jesus, he's to be our Lord. And we are to radically obey him. You know, I think with regards to obedience, we have a tendency to prefer not a radical obedience, but maybe a sufficient obedience. We want to be in. We want to do enough so that we can be called a Christian, but this passage just doesn't leave space for that, does it? You know, something else, I think if we look at what Scripture says, you know, in this passage, four different times it talks about keeping the commandments of Jesus. When we hear about commandments and obedience to Christ, I think we can see that God's commandments, it's the way that he helps us understand his design for our lives, his design for the church, his design for the work that we're called to do. Those who truly know him, they radically obey him. They embrace that design. So that's what I want to look at in this passage. What does radical obedience look like? What does it look like? There's three things in this passage that are very clear that we can see. The first one is radical obedience. It is always seeking and embracing God's design. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me. You know that this word here, it says, and by this we know that we have come to know him. This word for know, this is not simply an intellectual idea. This is not learning an idea and agreeing with it. This know, it's deeper than intellectual knowledge. It's an intimate understanding, a tangible experience. This is not knowledge that comes from just reading in a book, but actually experiencing something real. I can tell you about jumping off the high dive, but you got to actually jump to really know what it's like. Just to give you an example of what this word means, if you look back and see the story of Joseph and Mary, when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, it says that Joseph did not know her until she gave birth. This word can mean that kind of an intimate knowledge. That was a reference to Joseph and Mary knowing each other sexually, this experience. And what we have here is that this idea that this that this radical obedience, it looks like seeking and embracing God's design. It's not just knowing intellectually, it's deeper. And then we see too this idea of keeping his commandments. To keep, in the sense that this word means, is not simply to leave something in its place. You know, you could drop a hammer off in my garage and say, Wes, could you keep my hammer for a few weeks? I'll just leave it on the workbench, and I could keep it there and just leave it there. This word for keep, it has a deeper meaning than just simply going along with something. This is not simply just agreeing with the idea of the commandments of Jesus. No, this is actually, this word has a sense of protecting or defending. It's an active verb. There's a sense that the one who truly keeps the commandments of Jesus, they're seeking to know on a deep level what those commands are, and they're embracing God's design. And then in verse 4, we see this, that whoever says that I know him but doesn't keep his commandments, they don't really know him. He's a liar. The truth is not in that man. We cannot truly know Jesus without experiencing or embracing God's design and his commands in our life. We also see here, if we're trying to understand what radical obedience looks like, it also looks like growing in God's love rather than just completing a checklist. You know, we have this tendency to try to have sufficient obedience, to just do enough, to check all the boxes. But look at what it says here in verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, whoever keeps the word of Jesus in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Radical obedience, it doesn't lead to a legalistic checking of the boxes. It actually grows the love of God inside of us. And this is a mark of radical obedience that is starting to get at something we'll talk about next week when we look at what it means to become more and more like Jesus. But here's the thing, if your obedience, if it doesn't clearly grow the love of God in you, if it's not overwhelmingly evident that you have the love of God in you as you grow more and more obedient to Jesus, if that's not the case, then you're growing into a Pharisee. You're growing into somebody who has no love but is checking the boxes. You know, we so easily embrace that sufficient obedience that wants to check a box, rather than diving in completely. But this following of Jesus, this is not something that you can do halfway. Paul in Galatians, in Galatians 2:20, his letter to the church there, he talks about following Jesus like this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. He has followed in the greatest expression of love that Jesus had for us by going to the cross to die. That's what radical obedience looks like. It means growing in God's love. This word, when it says that the love of God is perfected, that means it's like it's brought to completion. And not that you would love perfectly all the time, but that you would be all in when it comes to loving like God does. That is what radical obedience looks like. It produces this love. Friends, brothers, sisters, strangers I haven't met yet, but who follow Jesus together, Christian, you and I are great at disguising our pride, aren't we? And that's maybe the danger when we talk about obedience, is when we start doing the right thing and we start maybe getting on a path and a streak of obeying well, our pride can begin to swell. We're so good at disguising that pride, of trying to hide it. And while we can fake that kind of obedience, the kind that builds ourselves up instead of building Jesus up, we can't fake love. What does radical obedience look like? It means growing in the love of God in a way that you just can't fake unless you are all in with Jesus. And finally, we see here, verse 6, what does radical obedience look like? It looks like abandoning our way for his way. We talked about what verse 6 means, you know, this cultural phenomenon for them that to walk in the way of another rabbi, to walk in the way of somebody else, this was something that was pretty common for them, and it was this radical thing that people would do. They would abandon their old ways, their old life, and they would pattern everything they did from the way they ate their breakfast in the morning to where they went and how they spent their day. They would pattern it after the rabbi. It was a clear call to abandon your own way, to take up the rabbi's way in every aspect of life. That's what radical obedience looks like. And that's where I think we get to this point of decision. I think about my kids on the end of the high dive, you know, just trying to decide, am I going to jump? Am I going to do this? Am I going to go all in? This passage, it culminates this explanation of what obedience looks like, what it means to act like Jesus, with an unavoidable decision point. Are you willing to abandon your way for the way of Jesus? That's my question for us today. Are we truly willing to embrace a life that is conformed to the life of Jesus? Because those who truly know him, if you truly know how good he is, if you truly know his love, if you truly know what he gave up to be with you, those who truly know Jesus, they radically obey him. They radically obey him. Are you willing in love to seek and embrace God's design for every part of your life? What in your life would have to change for you to live in radical obedience to Jesus? This is one of the three, just very clear, one of the three marks of spiritual maturity, people that are willing to embrace God's design and walk in this radical obedience. This means asking, what is God's design and plan for me with regards to, and then fill in the blank with every area of your life, with regards to money, and school, and how you interact with your neighbors, even how you regard your enemies. This means asking at every turn, what is God's plan and design for me, and how can I embrace it? And not just embrace it, but embrace it with the love of God and abandon my own way for his way. You know, there's great opportunities to grow in this. You know, any of you who think about this and you say, I don't know God's design for how I earn my money or spend my money or save it or invest it or give it, we've got Financial Peace University coming up here. There's a great chance to jump into one of these classes. Here's an unashamed plug for this upcoming trimester of community life. Learn God's design for your life. Jump in, dive in. Have you thought about, do you embrace God's design for your life with regards to school, those of you who are students? Have you sought it in deciding where to go and what your study habits should look like and how you should treat people there and how you should pay for it? Have you sought God's design for your neighbors? Do you know them well enough to love them? You know, this world is broken in so many ways, and it's a confusing place to parse out God's design, but his word is very clear. He has a plan and a design for our lives, for even for love and marriage and sexuality. If you're struggling with fleshly desires that would carry you outside of God's design, I ask, if you truly know Jesus, I invite you to radically obey him. You know, this passage brings us to a point of decision. Will we allow our lives to be shaped by this radical obedience and following Christ. You know, it's interesting. This passage, it says over and over that you can know that you truly know him if you obey him. My friends, you and I, we were created to know our Maker. You were made for this. You were made to know him. You were made to walk in obedience to him. And I understand it's scary to stand at the end of the high dive and decide whether or not you're all in, because to submit your marriage to the work of Jesus when maybe you've just been living as roommates for years, that's going to take some hard work. But you were made to walk in this kind of radical obedience. You know, I've been really struck that we can look to Christ for a clear picture of what it means to come to this kind of decision point. You know, Jesus, he had a moment where he needed to decide himself whether he was going to turn and embrace God's plan and design for his life. You know, he had the Passover with his disciples, and he instituted communion, which we are going to enjoy here in a moment. And after that, he knew the cross was coming, and he took his disciples to a place to pray, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went to pray with his disciples there, and you can find an account of this in many of the Gospels. And he went, and it says that he fell down before God. And this is his decision point, where he was wrestling with the reality of what was to come. And he said, "Lord, if there's any way that this cup could pass from me," he knew the physical torture he would endure. He knew not just the physical torture he would endure, but the spiritual horrific reality of being separated from his heavenly Father. He knew that was coming too. The physician Luke, who wrote one of the gospel accounts and also the book of Acts, he records that Jesus was in such agony as he prayed about what he knew was God's design and God's plan for him. He was in such agony as he prayed that there was blood mingled with the sweat that dripped off his face. You know, it happens when people are under great stress. You can be under so much stress that the capillaries in your sweat glands burst, and you truly do sweat blood. This was Jesus shedding his blood as he agonized over embracing the plan and design of God. And what an amazing gift of love. Love perfected that Jesus, he didn't just sit in agony in that garden, no. He said, "Not my will, but thy will." He embraced God's plan and design, and he did it in a perfecting of God's love, a perfecting of his love that gives us what we need to make the same decision in our own Garden of Gethsemane. He abandoned the way of the flesh that recoiled at what he was about to endure, and he embraced the plan of his Father. My friends, we were made to walk in this kind of radical obedience. And Jesus, he doesn't just send us and tell us to go do it. No, he walked this path too. Now, I don't know what your garden looks like today, where you are praying and agonizing over whether to walk with Christ and embrace God's design. But I know our Savior, he's been there with you already. You know, we are going to celebrate communion. We're going to remember love perfected, the choice that Jesus made in the garden. that we can follow in our footsteps and pattern our lives after him. We can abandon everything to live in radical obedience because Jesus did it first. He did it perfectly and he did it for us. And we're going to have a time of reflection and prayer. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider, what does it look like for you to walk in radical obedience to Jesus? And as you consider that, I want you to consider these elements that represent Jesus' love perfected. Let's enjoy a time of prayer and reflection now.
This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our goal is to encourage and equip people to become fully developing followers of Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.